Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRT-LP, 95.7 FM in Davis, California. Online we live at kdrt.org. I'm Bill Buchanan, and I thank you for tuning in today. We all know homelessness is a problem. So the question is, what will help solve it? Part of the answer in Davis is taking shape right now at 1111 H Street in the central part of the city, where Davis Community Meals and Housing is building Paul's Place, a four-story building with services and housing to help at least some homeless people get back on their feet. It replaces an old, small, former house that the nonprofit had used at that location to provide services. Services continue next door during construction. It's no small thing to do what Paul's Place is doing, to get funded and built without opposition sufficient to kill it off from people who might be just fine in helping to solve the homeless problem, but don't really want a shelter in their neighborhood. Our guest today is Bill Pride, executive director of the nonprofit, who last talked about Paul's Place with us in early 2018 as the idea was just starting to become public. Bill, thanks for talking with us again today.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
So is there anything you would add to that description of Paul's Place? There's a lot to it, but I sort of had an overview there.
No, it's the project since we talked last has been moving along relatively well. You know, we've got a few glitches to kind of work out. And certainly the pandemic did not help the situation. It certainly caused a lot of issues, not only with Paul's Place, but also with our other programs. So it's been a challenging last few years, but everything is moving forward as I would hope.
You know, the pandemic has affected everything. Can you give us a brief idea of how the pandemic affected Davis Community Meals and Housing?
Just kind of a couple of examples, because, you know, as I tell folks, during when the pandemic first started last March of 2020, I think sometimes it seemed like I was the only person still working in downtown Davis, except for the nice folks at Mishkin's, because there was nobody. This downtown Davis was deserted because everybody went home. And unfortunately, what we do, that's not a luxury we can afford to do. So, you know, when the pandemic hit and we had homeless folks who needed a place to take a shower and get services, we could not be the ones to close to kind of put them in a position where they could not get those services. We maintained being open to all of our locations, but of course, it also meant doing a lot of things for personal protection, safety of guests and our staff and volunteers. You know, a whole range of things. So some of the more concrete things that happened to us was, you know, a kind of our namesake program, our meals program, went from being a sit-down indoor dining experience for the folks who come to eat with us to basically being a handout of sandwiches and bags with other things to go with it, which was unfortunate, but the best that we could do, especially considering all the regulations and the local health department issues involved in keeping a sit-down indoor facility open. One of our other programs was our shelter transitional housing program, where we used to have 3-4 people in a bedroom. Of course, we couldn't do that with social distancing, so we had to reduce our capacity. And similar things like that happened in some of our other programs. It was just a difficult time to keep operating services.
Well, knock on wood, the pandemic will hopefully be in the past at some point.
Yes.
I did drive by the location where Paul's Place is taking shape today at 1111 H Street. You know, I know you broke ground in June. The construction looked pretty far along today. I mean, nothing built yet, but lots of groundwork.
Yes.
You planned to open in July 2022. Is that still your target?
That is still our target. We've, I think if you drove by today, you're probably seeing the foundation being prepared. And I believe the concrete's supposed to be poured this week or early next week to complete our foundation there.
Okay. That would be consistent. I'm not one who can read construction sites really well, but it looks something like that. I saw bulldozers and so on.
Yeah.
So briefly, how is Paul's Place going to help homeless people get off the streets? And how is it going to help Davis solve the problems associated with homelessness?
Well, I would say this much. I mean, I think that the big addition we're doing there, in addition to what we've done in that site for the last 27 years, is that we're going to add 18 units of housing there for people to permanently move off the streets and into basically an apartment that they rent by themselves and live in there by themselves and be self-supporting for themselves. That's going to be kind of the big addition. What we're going to be doing otherwise is the same programs we have there today or had there. which is our resource center, which will operate Monday to Friday for folks to drop in to get services, and also a transitional housing program, which the nice change is going to be, since we're not going to have folks in all in the same room anymore, three or four folks in a room, we'll have 10 individual bedrooms for folks in the transitional housing program. So we're going to have more bed space available on the same plot of land, and hopefully work to help 18 individuals move off the streets into some kind of permanent housing, and hopefully help them maintain their units and become stable and become better citizens and maintain their units and keep off the streets.
It's sort of a spectrum you've got going there, right? I mean, at some level, you'll have basic services if someone needs a meal or if they need to wash their clothes. Yeah. But then you're adding this housing, and I get a sense listening to you that people can almost graduate up through the system, and that when they leave it, they would hopefully be able to have their own place somewhere.
That is probably one of the prime ideas of the facility is going to be, it's almost linear from the basic services in the first floor to the transitional housing program at second floor to the third and fourth floor being the permanent housing for folks. It's kind of a little system where we can set up so we can hopefully work with folks to move from being homeless to being in either temporary housing or permanent housing. And if they're in the temporary housing, being a resource for folks to have the permanent housing move into at the end.
And I'd like to talk more about Paul's Place in a minute, but first, obviously, we're talking about homelessness. And so I'd like to get a better understanding of where we are with that in Davis this year. I'm wondering how many people there are in homelessness in Davis right now. The latest official count I could find, the point in time count, which is done every 2 years, I gather it was last done in 2019. It hasn't been done this year because of the pandemic.
Yes.
So that said, in 2019, there were 190. My sense from conversations with other people is that number grew last year. Do you have a sense of what the number is now?
It's pretty hard to target at this point. I mean, I would say the number's up from 190. Or certainly increased above that number at certain points of time. You know, there are different programs addressing homelessness, whether it's Project Room Key, whether it's other programs addressing folks who are now COVID positive moving into housing, whether it's the folks living in up types of facilities. But I would just say, I think the numbers at least been steady are going up since then.
Yeah, and Project Room Key is the pandemic project to get money to basically move homeless folks into, I think, mostly motels, right?
Yes.
Not necessarily motels, but mostly. So the number is hard to get. I guess it's just the nature of the thing, right? I mean, where would you find someone who's homeless? Obviously, there's places like the camps and such, but some don't want to be found.
Some don't want to be found. And I think some of the things I've seen is that there's probably more homeless folks scattered all over the city of Davis and on the outskirts than probably has ever happened before.
You know, that's my sense of it. I've lived in Davis for a while, and like that encampment along F Street next to the railroad tracks, for example, I think there's been homeless folks living there for a while, but it seems larger than it was, say, a few years ago.
Yes.
You know, there's lots of reasons people will offer for why homelessness is growing, but you're in the thick of the work here in Davis. Why do you think it's growing here in Davis particularly?
You know, homelessness is a very complex problem, and I'm not clear I know that there's any one solution that's going to address everybody's issue of homelessness. I'm not even sure just having more housing is going to solve the homeless problem. There are a lot of folks out there whose issues involve major mental health problems, chronic substance abuse, whether it's alcoholism or some kind of drug abuse or addiction, to other types of issues that, you know, until those things are addressed in some way, shape, or form, that putting them into housing is a very difficult thing to do. I know one of our big projects that we've had in the last number of years opened just last year, right a month after the pandemic happened, which was Creekside Apartments over in East Davis. And, you know, because of the pandemic, it took a longer than normal time to get the units filled. But it just goes to show how difficult it is to move folks who've been homeless into housing and have them succeed when they get into the housing. And I'm not clear I know that housing is the one solution that applies to everybody. I mean, I there's numerous folks I've known in the city of Davis for many years whose mental health situations are such that I'm not, moving them into housing would not be a successful placement for them. They need something beyond that. And whether it's a conservatorship, whether it's some kind of involuntary hold somewhere, whether it's involuntary medication, I'm not clear. I know that anything less than that is actually going to be a successful way for them to move forward and get off the sheets.
Okay, see, I give your answer a lot of weight because of your involvement in this problem in Davis. And is the mood changing? It seemed for a long time I would hear that, well, if someone needs mental health treatment but refuses it, there's really nothing you can do. That they have autonomy, they have a right to basically, they have a right to live outside and ailing if they want to. But I've heard more lately, kind of along the lines of what you were saying there, that some folks really do need sometimes some kind of, I mean, let's be blunt, it's almost help against their will, which obviously is a very dangerous area to enter into because that can be abused in so many ways. I guess my question to you is that changing a little? Is there maybe a bit more interest now in trying to humanely intervene for people who need help that they cannot do for themselves?
You know, that's a very complicated question. I've actually been on both sides of the issue, frankly. I mean, you know, years ago, I used to do LPS conservatorships over at the Correctional Medical Facility in Vacaville and went through something called CAHEA hearings, which were involuntary medication of state inmates in the Department of Corrections. And of course, I was of the opinion at that point that, you know, it's all up to these folks to decide for themselves. It's their right to do that. And it would infringe on their civil liberties otherwise. I've been doing this now for 20 years, and I wouldn't say my opinion has changed all that much, but I would say this much, that there are a number of folks out there whose mental health is such that they have no insight to the fact that they are mentally ill, one, or that they need some kind of treatment or medication that would improve their situation in life. And I do know from working with many of them over the years that the attitude that they're there by themselves and they can make those decisions is also offset by the fact that, one, the life expectancy is probably going to be much diminished from you or I because of being on the streets that long. Many times they have some kind of medical issue that's ongoing that is undiagnosed and untreated that they don't recognize, whether it's hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, other types of issues that you or I don't even think would be, because we shower every day, we could take care of ourselves, we're off the streets, we're not sleeping on the ground, that we don't even have any kind of feeling it's a danger to us. But yeah, for these folks, you know, they're not eating well, they're out in the weather, they're not taking care of themselves properly. And I guess my opinion is that at some point in time, somebody needs to step in to kind of take a little more control of that situation, that leaving somebody whose existence is basically all informed by their own mental health problem is not a situation that a civil libertarian should be supporting, frankly, because then we're supporting somebody who's hurting themselves, which is, I don't think anybody wants to take that position.
I've done a few shows on homelessness over the years. I've talked with you about it before when we talked about Paul's Place the first time, and also with some folks with the city. And the issue, not so much in Davis, well, Davis like anywhere, it's prone to sweeping pronouncements, but it seems to me that the effective work is coming with the one-on-one work, maybe I'd call it field work, maybe that's the right word for it. You guys do field work. Part of what you do is street outreach, right? Where you go and you don't necessarily require someone to come to you, you go to them.
Yes.
What are you learning from that? I mean, I guess that must inform your opinion you just expressed, but what are you learning from street outreach in Davis? What are you hearing from homeless people that they need, that they're not getting?
Well, I think the big thing that I find is that, you know, for many folks, especially if they've been on the streets a long time, they don't trust folks necessarily. And it's hard to get through to them, to give them some help and make their own decisions to make a path forward without kind of knowing them a little bit, understanding them, giving them options and letting them make their choice. You know, and that we've been doing for years, both at on the streets with our, you know, outreach program, but also kind of a similar effect at our resource center, which is mostly a drop-in place for folks to come to. And we try to work with folks and get to know them and, you know, kind of help them make better decisions for themselves. And sometimes it takes years. I mean, there's some folks we've worked with for years that it took them to kind of make the decision that it's time for me to get off the streets. Sometimes it's a faster process. Sometimes the process doesn't lead to anywhere. Yeah. But it's something that I think, you know, we try to treat everybody who comes to us with dignity, respect, and try to work with them from where they're coming from to help them make the best choices of themselves to move forward.
We are talking with Bill Pride. He is the executive director of Davis Community Meals and Housing. And a particular subject today is homelessness, but also Paul's Place, which is a new four-story building taking shape at 1111 H Street to provide housing and other services. I'm Bill Buchanan, and this is Davisville on KDRT. You know, we talked about this 4 years ago, but I'm sure some people didn't hear that earlier show. Paul's Place is named for your dad. Could you tell us a little bit about that? That was your decision.
That was my decision. I would just kind of say this much, is that my dad was kind of a compendium of many of the issues you talk about when you talk about homelessness, except for he was never homeless. And by that I mean is that he was a World War II vet. He was a POW in World War II. He suffered with mental health problems after his POW experience. He became an alcoholic later on in life. And at some point in a, I would say just a kind of a little miracle, and this is not something I would say lightly, but I was 21 years old. I was home. I just graduated college, and he got arrested for a drunk driving conviction. And, you know, that was the first time he had been confined behind bars since he left his POW camp in June of 1945. And all I can say is this much, whatever happened there was enough to scare him straight, because he never drank a drop until the day he died.
So in naming this after your father, you're honoring him, and you're sort of honoring his recovery.
I'm kind of honoring the fact that I think change is possible in everyone. And sometimes it comes from very unexpected places. But there's many folks I've known who's changed over the years, and it took sometimes multiple attempts. It sometimes took different programs, different places. We don't always have the answer. But at some point, I think some people can get to a point where they do make those choices to stop the negative behaviors, whether it's drugs or booze or whatever else.
You know, I think part of your accomplishment is that you're getting this place built. You know, anybody who's paid attention to the news in Sacramento has seen they're trying to grapple with their own homeless problem. It's not just a Davis problem, obviously. How did you manage to pull it off? You've got serious local donors. I think Sutter Health is your biggest, right? $2.5 million.
Yes.
The city obviously is involved, but you didn't have opposition to kill it off, which is often what will harm something like this. People will say, I'm fine with the idea of that. I just don't want it anywhere near my business, school, home, park, whatever it may be. Now, you were established there for a long time. That must have helped. And, you know, it's a mixed-use neighborhood. I mean, you've got a railroad track right across H Street from your location. But how did you do this?
Well, I think, you know, that was when we first met back in 2017 to actually discuss some program to be built in Davis to do more housing and services for homeless folks. 1111H was kind of the better location because we had been there at that point in time for 23 years. And, you know, I think one thing we've tried to do there over the years is, you know, be good neighbors to everybody, which means, you know, listening to their concerns, trying to address them as the best as you can, but also trying to making sure you provide the services to the folks who come to need your services. And you have to run a pretty fine balancing act to do that. And I think, you know, we've been committed for years to making sure that, you know, we provide the services to the folks who come to us who need services, whether it's housing, a place to take a shower, other services we provide, but also making sure that, you know, whatever we're doing doesn't have an adverse effect to the neighborhood. You know, that's, I think, a prime thing you have to be worried about is putting places in the middle of neighborhoods are going to have effect no matter what it is. And you have to be in a situation where you're able to take the necessary steps to address those issues to the satisfaction of everybody, basically. And I think the other thing that helped here too is we had broad community support, whether it's the city council, the city manager's office, city staff. We had partners like Dove and Yolo County Housing. And we established a pretty broad support with the help of, you know, Sutter and everybody else to kind of get involved here. And I'm happy to say we kind of flew right through the planning commission, the city council, and got our approval without much of any opposition. I know we had some. I know we tried to address whatever concerns they may have had about those, some of the issues they brought up. But, you know, we take the idea that we have to be good neighbors to everybody very seriously. And that means that we have to kind of listen to folks and make sure that things aren't happening that's going to affect their health, safety, and enjoyment of their property too.
And it's a $5 million project, I understand, to build it?
Well, unfortunately, the pandemic's had one really negative effect is on our costs. Yeah, our costs have gone up over $1 million since we talked last. And so we're actually starting another fundraising campaign to come up with an additional $1 million to cover all of our construction costs. That's just the materials and labor, but mostly materials related to pandemic-related issues like lumber and those types of things. I mean, certainly the last couple of years of fires and all those things have had an effect, but clearly the pandemic had a huge effect on the cost of materials and that type of thing. And we had some huge price increases in some of our basic materials to do construction with.
So there are other services in the area that I'm thinking now of the city's day respite program that's opened February 2020, I believe, at near 5th and L. According to their report in the first half of this year, I think they've logged about 1,800 visits there. How does something like that, because there are a lot of services besides them and you and others, how do you coordinate with them? How does that all work together to help solve homelessness or address homelessness in Davis?
Well, I know we refer people back and forth sometimes for things that we may not offer that they do and that they refer folks to us who they may offer the services for. I think everybody's got the same goal in mind here, which to help folks become stable in housing and become more self-sufficient to the best of their ability. And so, you know, we work with pretty much the city, the respite center, Dove, the Interfaith Rotating Winter Shelter, and others in town, you know, to kind of move folks along the best we can.
You mentioned Dove twice now. What does that stand for?
Davis Opportunity Village.
Oh, okay. Sometimes acronyms, you know, you hear so many, it's yes. Like, okay, which one's that? We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left. I wanted to also get your observations. One of the things that Davis Community Meals has done is successfully get people into permanent housing. And I'm wondering, when that has worked, are there any like common factors that you may have observed that have really helped people get out of homelessness indefinitely?
You know, I think there's probably quite a few things. I mean, I think the basic one is that the person moving in or moving into the housing really has to be committed and work toward maintaining it and being stable. I mean, that's the primary thing. And I think that's the important part there is having folks helping them make that transition. You know, coming up with a way to meet the needs that they may have, whether it's, I mean, we, you know, providing furniture for the unit because, of course, they don't bring anything in except for their whatever clothing they have and maybe a backpack and a bike and a trailer, perhaps. Smoothing that transition out, helping to make them understand that being inside is certainly different than being outside and that you have a lot of other factors to kind of put in place to make sure that, you know, your occupancy of the unit is not a burden to everybody else there or other folks. I think it's very hard for a lot of folks to make the transition into a small place. I mean, for some of these folks, they've been on the streets for 5, 10, 15 years, and you know, basically they've been sleeping under the stars for all that time or in places where it's wide open. And suddenly you're in a small apartment that's maybe 500-600 square feet and you got four walls and there's nobody else there, which is a daunting experience for some folks, especially if they've been homeless a long time. So it's kind of helping them make that transition from being homeless to being housed. I think their motivation, of course, is one of the biggest factors. But you certainly have to have folks involved who can help make that transition, whether it's our employees or whether it's case managers from the county or Turning Point or all the other partners we work with on a regular basis.
So these different programs that exist, you know, homelessness has increased despite that, perhaps it would have been worse. Is it just that these are good ideas, but we need more capacity? Or are there other ideas we should be trying as well?
You know, I think there's probably other ideas. I mean, I think, you know, capacity is certainly probably the biggest impediment. I mean, one of the reasons when I first started here back in 2001, the vacancy rate in the city of Davis was 4 to 6% at any one time, and the neighboring communities were 10, 11, 12%. And
this is apartment vacancy rates you're talking
apartment
about.
Apartment vacancy rates. And of course, you know, there was places for folks to move into. Certainly it was difficult to find the fit where somebody had income and could pay the rent easily. But, you know, there was certainly units available you could kind of work with. You know, by the time 5, 6 years went by, that had pretty much dissipated down to the 1% or so that is in Davis now, and even lower than that. That's why Davis Community Meals is going into basically the apartment building business. I mean, we started off with Cesar Chavez back in 2007 with our partners, neighborhood partners. And then Creekside, you know, back about 7 years ago, we got involved in that. And that opened last year in April. And now, of course, Paul's Place. And the idea that you need more space and more units for folks to move into that are affordable to them, that hasn't changed. I mean, I think that's still the biggest impediment. But I also think that other avenues should be kind of explored, whether it's tiny homes, whether it's other types of housing that may be a little more non-traditional. But I mean, I think the idea is that you have to build more because the problem's not going to get any better. And unless you've got more units out there to put folks into, it's going to be a situation that's going to spiral even worse than it is now. And somehow the cost has to kind of be factored in there because, you know, the cost of building apartments now, I mean, even Creekside was like, with 90 units there, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $330,000, $340,000 a unit to build. And somehow I think you have to drastically reduce the cost of construction to build something that's affordable, that can be more easily replicated and built, and hopefully offer more housing opportunities for the folks we serve.
The pandemic did change the vacancy rate in Davis. You know, for a while, landlords had apartments that were empty because people left town. Did that give you guys a silver lining, maybe a bit more to work with?
Yeah, I know there's some landlords in town who helped out during the pandemic doing a few things. I mean, they rented to folks on a low income basis. I just don't know how sustainable that's going to be, or whether that's going to continue once the pandemic's gone by. And, you know, certainly once the, you know, university rolls back up and everybody moves back in the town, whether it's this year, I know they're open this year, but I'm not clear. I know how many folks are going to be attending and renting locally, but certainly by the next year, if everything's done over, then the vacancy rate's just going to go back to where it was. I mean, there hasn't been much building the last few years in the city of Davis. I mean, I know there's a few big student apartment complexes that are being built, but of course the student population is expanding too.
Yeah, I take your point. You're in this for the long haul. So if it was a benefit for a year or two, you're thinking longer term than that.
Yes.
Well, Bill, we are out of time, but thank you for the update today on homelessness and talking about Paul's Place. As always, I found this very interesting. So thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure, Bill.
We've been talking with Bill Pride, the Executive Director of Davis Community Meals and Housing. I am Bill Buchanan, and this is Davisville on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. Thank you for listening.